Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the Overcomers Show. This is a show where ordinary people overcome insurmountable challenges in their life. And I am one of them. I'm the fingerless pianist. I lost 8 fingers due to frostbite and the blizzard of 1996 here in New York. And I played the piano with no fingers. I was told that I was going to have 8 fingers amputated and told that I would never play the piano again. But through perseverance and my faith in God and my faith that I will play again, I was able to play again. And I told my doctor, I'm going to play again. I'm going to send you a CD. And I'm proud to say, through the grace of God, I was able to do that. So that I was an overcomer, but I did realize that the need of overcomers, the people that, you know, suffering tragedies and might not have the attitude that I have, you know, I thought it was something that was natural, but I realized that you have to actually tell yourself that you're an overcomer. You know, really find these things out till you get into those situations and things, and you have to come out. So I just want to say you're overcome. I'm welcoming you to the show tonight. We're continuing our series on healing the family. And our topic thing is unity of the family. It was a show done yesterday, and I asked you to go and look at that back show. We were discussing healing the family in some ways that, you know, we can do that. Today we're going to continue with that part 2 of healing the family. But we're going to extend it with the topic thing will be the importance of the family. And, you know, and bringing unity about and healing the moral decay of today's family. Because you know that the moral decay has suffered tremendously under the family. And we're going to discuss those ways that we might can, you know, bring back the importance of the family, the role it plays and healing some of these ills, these moral decency. So then we need unity of the family. And then with that, you know, we can extend that into our communities and the society, of course, and the world as a whole. The family is the foundation. We agree with that in some of our earlier broadcasts about the family being the foundation. God started the world over the family. Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply the earth, you know, subduing it. This was from a family perspective. And, you know, we go back even with the marriage and that. So we're called to that, even in the spiritual, with Jesus, you know, it was discussed as being a family. He said, I call you my friend, you know, and even a brother now. So we just want to thank God for the opportunity tonight. But we start, I just want to say a prayer tonight. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence, giving you praise, honor, and glory as always, because you are Lord God of all, and all things were made according to your purpose and your will. We ask, oh God, that you would just bless this show tonight, Lord God, as you would touch everyone that's coming on, oh Father God, that there would be a blessing, a word of encouragement for them, something they can take back and use to encourage someone else. We just thank you for that. We ask the release of your Holy Spirit. Touch everyone that's going to come on, Lord God. Give them the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord God, that they can convey to help someone out there. And we just pray for all our guests that are coming on, Lord God. We just ask you just touch them and anoint them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask that healing and that revelation will be revealed tonight so that something can be said that can pull the blindness of someone's eyes, someone spiritual. Someone needs some healing, Lord God, in their spirit. We just thank you for that tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we call it done in Jesus' name. And this is Blog Talk Radio, the Overcoming Show. Healing the Family series. Our guest, if you're just coming on, or you want to, our guest number is 929-477-1212. Again, that's 929-477-1212. The Overcoming Show. And of course, you can go on Blog Talk Radio / Overcomers. Oh, and that'll take you to us. Okay, so you have any comments or anything, you can leave any comments in there. In the name of Jesus, we're going to start the show off this evening right here and with a scripture. So bear with me a second right here and now. We're going to pull out a scripture right here. And that scripture is coming from Luke. Okay, our scripture will be from Luke, coming from Luke And that's the hope it can be still in 12 Luke. That's Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 10. And I'm reading from the New International Version of the Holy Bible. It has larger print. It says larger print, New International Version. Okay, we will add Luke 13, starting at verse 10. The heading over it is Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. And I think we probably heard that story of Jesus healing a crippled woman. Okay, starting at verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching to one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years," I repeat that, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, "be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And God bless the reading of his word, Healing on the Sabbath day. The Sadducees were so stuck up in law that they thought that the healing would be null and void because it was done on a day, it was done on a Sabbath other than any other day. So they was not looking at the person, they was looking at their laws. And Jesus checked them with that, the matter of their heart, of putting regulations before people, putting principles before people. And the heart of the law is in loving your neighbor as yourself. We discussed that yesterday in Galatians, I believe it was 5, 13, 14, that the whole law rests on this one command and fulfilled in this one command, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. So the word is spiritual in doing and in how we treat each other. The Sadducees and Pharisees was a group of religious leaders. Although they couldn't keep the law, they delighting in trying to make other people keep it and hold them responsible for breaking it any time they could. This woman was crippled for 18 years, bound by Satan. That they didn't see. They saw that they breaking the law, but Jesus showed them that he was doing good. And show them that even you on the Sabbath, you untie your donkey and your ox, lead it from the stall so they can have water. So why shouldn't this daughter of Abraham be healed on the Sabbath? So, every day is a Sabbath. So if you're waiting for God to heal you on any other day, every day is a Sabbath. Healing is available to you. I'm saying this because we let regulations. Now their regulations was the word of God that they could not keep, the old law, the Torah. Our modern day regulation would be probably the cares of this world, the doubt in God, the things that you've been going through that made you lose hope in God. You might have thought, if there's a God, why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? Why is God doing this to me? I hear that a lot. A lot of people blame God for things that happen in their life, which means that they expect the favor of God. But when things are not going right, they blame God. But yet, they don't look to see the requirements that God might require to receive the blessings and the grace over your life. Because whether you realize it or not, it's a truth that we are in a spiritual battle. There was a songwriter, I believe his name was it Paul Simon? What was his name? He said, "You gotta serve somebody." Y'all know that song. You gotta serve somebody. Dylan, who was that? Bob Dylan, "You gotta serve somebody." The song. Well, anyway, his thing was like, you have to serve somebody. And he has a line in it where he said, you're going to have to serve the devil or the Lord, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you're going to serve somebody. We are in a battle. We do have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he's known as the prince of the air. Jesus said, I beheld his star falling from heaven like lightning down to the earth. He's mad because he knew he has a short time. So he's down here spreading lies and trying to take whoever he can through deception, self-doubt, broken families, drugs, accusing God, selfish ambitions, all the things of a carnal life that we might not receive. The enemy uses that as a mirror against us to question who we are and who we are not. I was told tonight, waiting for a word, and the word that I got was, think positive, speak positive. Don't speak no failure. Don't speak doubt. Don't think doubt. Think positive. If you catch yourself doubting, catch that doubt and think positive. Speak to your soul. Stand on the promises of God. We have to learn how to go into battle and overcome. We have to overcome the battle and keep going. And God will answer us. God will be there to meet our needs. So, the lady was crippled by a spirit. Are you crippled by a spirit? Spirit of doubt? Are you crippled by the spirit of poverty? A spirit of, I'm just not good enough? A spirit of, I didn't see no one else do it in my family. So for me to do it, that's impossible. Are you listening to your peers telling you what you can't do, criticizing you? You're a prime suspect of someone that's been bound. And Jesus said, is it not the daughter of Abraham or son of Abraham who been infirmity by the devil for 18 years, be set free? Don't you lead your donkeys and ox to water? This is your leading to water. Water represents the Holy Spirit. God is releasing his Holy Spirit over your life right now to set you free. All you have to do is accept it and think positive. Don't think failure. Think positive. And receive of the Lord. The Lord is going to lift you out of your calamities, out of your troubles. And we just decree that in the name of Jesus. If you're on the line tonight, God sent you here on this line for this purpose, to hear this word of encouragement for your soul and spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to check in a second and see. We have some guest callers coming in. Hold on a second with me right here. Bear with me. We have some guest callers coming on the line right here. I'm actually using another computer here. Let me see what we got on the line here. Okay, what we got? Hello, can you hear me? Caller. Caller, hello.
Hello.
Yes, we hear you.
Good evening, everyone. God bless. I just like to say that was a wonderful scripture, as always, and thank you, Jesus. Yes, positive, thinking positive.
Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
My name's Helen. I'm calling from Rockaway.
Rockaway where?
Park, New York.
Rockaway Park, New York. We have New York in the house. We have a guest, Helen, too. We're expecting from Africa. You know, hopefully to see what happens, you know, with their intercontinental connections and so forth. But Helen, we have Helen here from Rockaway Park, New York, and I happen to know Helen too. Helen, thank you for coming on. We continue our series on healing the family. And the topic subject was the importance of the family and restoring moral decency to our families, communities, and, you know, culture. What are some of the ways we can do, or some of the things we can do to get back to doing that? Some solutions, some practical solutions that we can do. What do you suggest?
Well, from a Christian perspective, the strength of the family is the strength of the community and the strength of the world, the nation, the world, and so on. You know, it continues. Individually, I like to start with a right relationship with God, you know, according to how he tells me to live. And that has to do with, as you stated earlier, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you, be honest with that, you know, and because if you base your family on that, your family's included within that. In those, you love your husband as yourself, another sense of love. I was talking earlier about how nowadays, you know, the kindness, everything's me, me, me. If you want to speak about what's wrong, it's not a perspective of you before me, you know, that giving. We were raised during a time where, you know, we taught our children to care about our neighbors, each other, the community. You know, we teach small children how to share, you know, and often we hear, no, that's me and mine and this and my phone, and, you know, as if there's no maturity, you know. And loving your neighbor as yourself and carrying it to your family is the first exposure we have to living in this world. Not to say every family is perfect. You know, we have to bear with each other and there are stresses. But if we come from a perspective of loving each other, you know, for instance, you know, maybe my child wants to do something, you know, and I could say, well, I don't really want to do that, but I'll do it, you know, for the other person, you know, to have a balance and everyone working in that. From that perspective, you know, and have a good time with it, you know, reinstate some laughter, as you were saying, positive things within your family.
And, okay, let me, I don't mean to cut you off, but
yes.
We're talking about restoring moral decency. How can we do that? You know, some of the values today that are left today where children don't respect the adults, they don't respect their elders, even, you know, their grandparents. What can we do to, as far as the family's concerned, you know, and dealing with that, you know, instilling back a moral decency from the family? I'm not sure I might be talking about kids that are growing up, You know, once they grown is a different story. But I'm talking about as a whole. That's something that's been, you know, plaguing our family structure, the moral decency, you know, the dilapidation of the moral decency, and, you know, those basic values that we grew up on. Is there any way that we can do something to try to remedy that and reversing the effects that we've been having now? At least going back to a moral decency, you know, with the high, the Mr. and Mrs. and hello, stuff like that. Do you think it's that we can reinstill that, where that we can like reinstill those things into our the family, not the family, into the community, but I believe it has to start in the family first. What are some of the ways you think we can do that? I mean, of course, we have to sit down at the table and acknowledge that that is a problem, and then from there work on some remedies to doing that. What remedies would you suggest families that they can undertake to get to restoring moral decency, even if not in their families, but be an example even for other families? What do you think they can do, or we can do as people?
Absolutely. There is a way to restore the family. Right now, you know, there are many things you could do, but I'll only touch on a couple of things that come to mind. The first and foremost thing is, as a family member, and I'm going to go back to dealing with children, you could tell children anything, you know, but children do what they see. So if you're disrespectful and always yelling or angry or talking about other people and or elders, and are you respecting elders in your life? You know, if I'm not doing it, I can't expect someone else to. I can't instill those values in a child. The other big thing is TV. For instance, when my child was small and children were in the house, I banned certain shows. Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, reality shows, because they're hyped up. There's a lot of immorality. Children are sponges. I didn't want her hearing it in another room because I hear everything. And grow up thinking that this is the way you're supposed to behave. You know, because these things are going into our children's heads. You know, also watch it. If you're allowing your child to watch TV with it. Discuss what they're viewing. You know, work together with your husband or your wife and make it a family where you discuss things. Because it's really important to know how their take on things. You know, it may seem simple, but it's, you know, it's crucial because children do what they see and hear. And maybe, you know, by monitoring that in your home, you know, it's the beginning of instilling the right things in your child's life. You know, a moral, kind, you know, gentle, community-minded spirit. If you're able, you know, get together with your church. Maybe one holiday, bring your children with you and feed the homeless. Like, teach them how that it's a joy to give back. It's a joy to not always be thinking of yourself, you know, and through your actions. You know, that's one of the things. Because I feel that, you know, children are able, you know, they're exposed to so much. It's too much for them. It's too much for them. You know, they start shutting down and they're watching things that they can't handle emotionally because no one's talking to them about it. You know, and this leads to no good, to acting out, to modeling bad behaviors.
So can I ask you a question? How can we stop the kids from, you know, getting this information? Will you recommend that parents monitor their kids and what they're looking at on TV, cable, even their phones? So they all kids got their own cell phones, so they can basically see anything You recommending maybe those are some of the things that can maybe stop that? Maybe check their cell phone, make sure they're not going this and that. Because you can't restrict them so much today. Because information today is, is so available.
Yeah.
So you recommend maybe, what would you recommend for a parent that wanted to really see what their children are listening to on their cell phone? Hypothetically, maybe some teenagers, that they've been, we're talking about some remedies. We're trying to reverse some things. So let's assume that the kid already has a cell phone and
mm-hmm.
he's a teenager just got into junior high school and has a cell phone. And now, the parent maybe is hearing this episode and said, I might want to do that. I might want to stop that and pull in the reins on my kids that are going to get too exposed to what's going on in the world. And maybe the information they're getting, I need to really, monitor that, to see what they're doing. What can they do to maybe reverse that? The kid already has a cell phone. Can you give a parent maybe some suggestion how they can, and what would they say to their teenage kid about, let me monitor your cell phone?
Hopefully, it hasn't come to the point where you're just starting to monitor your child, but at a teenager. And I would like to offer my prayers to anyone starting, at that point. In the Bible, they talk about spare the rod, spoil the child. In ancient times, the rod was also a measure of limits. It's a measure. So you're able to set limits and boundaries within your home and with your children. One of the first things is if they're not who's paying for that phone? Are your children working and paying for the phone? Because if it were me and a teenager, I would need outside help as well if I was starting from that point, because as we all know, it's a very difficult age. I was one once, I know.
Well, what would you tell them? What would you say to them, your teenage son?
Well, I would try to sit down and have a discussion. Hopefully things weren't so difficult that I couldn't have a discussion with my child and let them know, that we would go on the phone together. And if you find something, maybe not right away, I might not, depending on the child, because every child is different. I might, try to go through it with them and then explain why certain things aren't acceptable. Because if it's not allowed in the home, then they already know that they shouldn't be doing it. And don't be under the illusion that they're not hearing things from other places. They have to go to school and work and take the train and have, even if they're young, there are older brothers and sisters in the home. Not to say they're bad, but it's very important to start to communicate. Now, if my child were still resistant and not allowing me, although I did have a way of going, there is a way to go on the computer and check, I used to check my daughter's websites where she was going. She knows now, but she's 29. At the time, she didn't. And I didn't have to, God bless, I didn't have to confront her about anything. But it's a real issue. And if you explain it's for their safety, also it's a rule of the house, and consistency is important. You can't say, I want to see your phone and this, and then it's okay the next day, and that there are consequences. My consequences would be that I pay for the phone until you go get a job and you're buying your own phone, then that phone really is mine, and if it's a privilege for you.
Well, you know what? There's a scripture in the Bible, I don't know exactly where it is, but I know it does exist. It says that teach a child in the way he should go, and when he get older, he will not depart. And I guess it means, you know, teach him those basic principles, I guess, you know, from a biblical point of view, that when he get older, he won't depart. So we do need to reach back then, you know, and it usually comes back. Now, we know that all parents are well-meaning for their kids. And so when kids are older in that age, you know, you got to really catch them at that teenage age, 12, 30, 40, start going up into the world and learning themselves and being pulled and strayed by their peers, which, you know, it can introduce them some things that, you know, as a parent, you might know nothing about if you're not on them. So as Helen was saying, you know, you have to deal with them if as you know your child. But I do agree, too, that they, you know, let them know why you're doing this. This is for their good. And that children, you know, let them know your standards, why you're doing this, and what you might be expecting them. And this is your way, not what the peers say. I do believe that you must establish a strong parenthood from your household. You go out that door, their peers are going to really be pulling at them. And they're in the age of, you know, trying new things and trying to find themselves. So they're very vulnerable. So maybe at that age, you can concentrate on some things that would probably curtail a lot of things that would happen later on in life, you know, minus that, you know, restriction. So I do believe that we can make a difference and change some things around. I know things have been going crazy, but I do believe that we, as Christians, can turn things around, you know, even, you know, just being decent. You could turn some things around in some people's lives, especially the youth. Set an example for them. Now, I don't recommend just grabbing someone's kids up and trying to chastise them, but us as adults, you know, should be looking to see if there's an opportunity we can step in to maybe, you know, lead a youth in the right direction. Because remember, they're the one that's going to be, you know, causing this now. So if you see them, you don't do nothing now. This same person that you might have an opportunity to say something to might be that same one later on that becomes a criminal and attack you or one of your family members. So when we look at it that way, you know, you're actually helping to protect yourself and society at large. And I believe if others take this type of attitude, we can really put a hope to the rise of a lot of those crimes. Because you never know who you might touch with an act of just being positive, leading them in the right direction. We just assume, oh, they came from a bad parenthood and their houses and that. But we don't really know. The kid could be an orphan, never had a parent, never knew his mother or father. You know, this is where it's striking back at society and everyone you meet or have some attitude where, you know, it's like a chip on the shoulder. Sometimes just someone talking, you can turn your life around. It's happened countless examples, me myself being one, you know, someone that 16 turned my life around, it was a teacher. And then we have, you know, other examples, Mike Tyson, he was in, I think, a detention center upstate when Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all times, paid him a visit up there and meant it to the kids. I mean, had such a profound effect on Mike Tyson's life that he actually, you know, changed his life. He wanted to be a boxer. So we never know the impact you may have. So we're encouraging people in the coming show here to go for it, you know, and we have this series on healing the family because we do believe that the family is the foundation of everything we do. And we have a strong family. From there, we can do other things. And it's also could be the deterioration of our whole society and our world, you know, as we know it. With the breakdown of the family. So we're encouraging unity of the family by getting together and reassess the importance of the family and really eye-opening revelation of the breakdown and how that has trickled down into society and creating some of the very things that we are facing now that we're against. You know, let's face it, I mean, against the president, you know, God bless him. You know, but it's apparent that the society atmosphere was prepared for that. And I just submit that we each one, stand up and be accountable. Be accountable to yourself and be accountable to your environment, your society, the world around you, the people around you. Be accountable. Make a difference. Be the difference. Reach out at someone that you might consider a knucklehead or whatever, especially the youth. We have to catch them at this age to sort of re-indoctrinate them with the principles of what's right and wrong, it seems. I don't have about no tattoos, but I do have something when you want to steal old lady pocketbooks. I do have something when you have no compassion for an 87-year-old man that's fragile, but you still want to break his bones. Have no compassion of, have compassion for him, but that I understand that they're hurting. There's something in them. They didn't get it at home. So we are obligated. So before you see someone out there and say that, then blame their parents and their families. You know something? Maybe you could have been the one to make a difference in that person's life. You don't never know. Maybe you passed that person when they were young or something, so they didn't recognize them, and you could have said something. Life is a circle. So in light of that, take a different attitude about the world. Don't run from the world. Help change the world. With that, I just want to say that we have some guests that come on, but maybe if they can get on or not, we have some guests coming from Africa. If not, we will reschedule that. Coming from Africa, calling from Africa, it's with the lines and certain things there. But we go on in the name of Jesus. Anyway, and we will reschedule whatever we can't get on tonight. Okay, bear with me. Let me see if we have a caller that's calling in. I'm here multitasking again. I think y'all know it by now. I am multitasking. We have any more callers here? Just working here. I don't know. Do they know to get in touch? It would be in the collective here. Okay, we're watching. Okay, I don't see too much here to click in here. We have a call up in here. Well, not. We have 6 minutes left, folks. So we just want to thank you. I do want to thank Helen. We'll have some closing out remarks. But I do want to say some things about what we might be doing here at the Overcoming Show, well, Healing the Family Series. And we're going to be having some sporadic listings. So you might get some listens from me, some texts. Messenger. I don't want to offend nobody. If you don't want to hear religious things or something like that, you can block me. It's understandable. I still pray for you and everything like that. But I'm called to do this, and so I'm just trying to encourage someone as the Lord leads me. I feel that I can do something to encourage someone to live a better life. And my main objective is introducing everyone to Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who took me out of a world of darkness and bring me to his marvelous light. And I just want to share that love of the Lord and to bring people into the kingdom of God so you will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that is my hope and prayer tonight. We're going to be having some interesting guest coming on. In the future, we're going to be having Edwin Villuet is number one in the world boxing champion from Puerto Rico, two-time Golden Glove champion, undisputedly and questionably the only man that beat Roberto Duran. Yeah, two fights with Roberto Duran. I told the fight myself, and I came to the conclusion that he did win, in points, but it was given to the champion. You have to knock the champion out. No offense against Roberto Duran, great fighter. But the way Duran really shocked me, Duran was at his height. And, I did meet with him, and he probably told me he beat him, along with the person that also, I think, beat Duran. He beat both of them. And, he's a gentleman with a fiery spirit, really, displays what we need to overcome. And I think he's going to be really blessed. He's a boxer training now for youth in the Bronx at a gym. And we're going to be having him coming on. We're working out the details now, but it is confirmed. And we're going to learn some things from him. And He's an Overcomer. And then we might have some music guests coming on and some guests from Africa. We just encourage you to stay on and keep abreast with what's going on here at the Overcoming Show. I'll be sending out texts as need be to let you know what's going on. And we just want to say to everybody that life is a circle. What you put out will come back to you. So learn how to show some love to someone. Treat someone good. You want good to come to you? Be good. Go out doing what's good. You know, trust in the words that you hear from the Lord. Trust in the words you hear from the Lord. Step out on faith. Step out on faith. Speak positive in the atmosphere. That's the word tonight. Don't think negative. Don't think failure. Think positive. You are an overcomer. And you can overcome anything through the word of God. And we want to encourage some people tonight to go forth and pulling down everything that's not of God out of your life in the name of Jesus and empowering you with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit to go forth and accomplish what God is calling you to do. And don't let no one dissuade you or pull you to side, questioning what it is that you can have in God. And sometimes it's a lonely walk, you know, but you're never alone because Jesus is always there. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you low until the end of time. But be open to God's leading and what he's calling you to do in your life. You know, we all have a purpose that we're called to. So, you know, open up, pray to God. God, what is it that you have me to do? What purpose are you calling me for? How can I be a blessing to your kingdom? Use me as you see fit, as your will and your purpose. And God will meet you right there. And that's really what it's all about. Surrendering to God. Surrendering to his will for your life. And then you'll see the hand of God in your life. You know, fixing all those things, restoring what the devil took from you. You can get it all back. You can get it all back. A lot of people are going around talking about double for your trouble. You know, it's a scripture, you know, where God will give you back double. You know, I think it was taken from Job somewhere, you know, where it said he got back double for everything he suffered because God is faithful. But I'm going to say a prayer to close us out tonight. I'm going to thank Helen, our guests coming here. I'm sorry for those that couldn't come on, you know, at this time. We can always reschedule you. All right, and but we're going to say a prayer and close out. Dear Father God, we thank you right now. This opportunity again, Lord God, another night, healing the family. Just pray, God, that you would let everything that's said resonate in the heart and in the minds and in the spirit of those that hear this broadcast in the name of Jesus right now, Father God. I come before the throne of grace, Lord God. I come against all sicknesses, Father God. I come against cancer, Lord God. I bind and command them cancer cells to be destroyed right now in the mighty name, hallelujah, of Jesus. Touch someone's spirit tonight, Lord God. Someone need a word of encouragement tonight, Father God. Someone need a stronghold broken off their life. A yoke around them, Lord God. We pull it down and bind it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just speak healing tonight to one life, Lord, Father God. We speak, Father God, miraculous revelation for someone tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We ask for financial blessing, Lord God. We pray for those, oh Father God, that are in prison tonight, Lord God. We pray for all the families, Lord God. Hallelujah. Of course, Lord, we lift up the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, oh Father God. We know somewhere that she's made it with you, Father God. We just ask, oh God, we thank you for the time you've given us. We just pray for the family, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that everything would be comforted, Lord God, that this would be this opportunity to draw people to you. That you're bringing out here to be a light, Father God, to shine through music. We thank you for her, Father God. As we celebrate and honor her, we just know, Lord God, all things work together for good. We just ask, Lord God, any of those on this phone tonight that don't know you as your Lord and Savior, that they repeat after me, Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on the cross for my sins so that I might not perish but have everlasting life. I receive Jesus in my heart tonight as my Lord and Savior. Lord God, I don't know what this thing about being a Christian is like, that you would show yourself real to me in Jesus' name. If you said it in your heart, you are now saved. You are now saved, even to those that believe on this name. And my prayer that God would just change your life around with something that was said. My prayer that God would give you desire in your heart. We pull down anything that is contrary, that is against you right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind it. And we speak favor in your life right now, that it would take place even tonight. You would get favor on your jobs. Some would see miracles happen in their lives. Their family members would be healed from cancer and all type of illness. In the name of Jesus, we just decree it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stay blessed. Stay blessed. Stay blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember, you have no real problems because you are an overcomer. In Jesus' name, amen.